All right, thank you. So my presentation today is on the phytoremediation of two soils. One is a mineral soil and one is organic, and they're both contaminated with multiple trace elements. So my soils were collected from Flin Flon, Manitoba, which I'm sure many of you have not heard of. So it is about 750 kilometers northwest of Winnipeg. So it's this A marker here, that is, I believe, about 470 miles. And Flin Flon is a small mining city. It has a copper zinc mine as well as a smelter. The smelter was recently closed about 2 years ago. And there's a large area of contamination around the smokestack. One previous study has found copper, zinc, and lead to be at elevated levels up to 35 kilometers or 22 miles from the smokestack. So my soils, we've analyzed them, and they have elevated levels of many different trace elements, including arsenic, chromium, cadmium, selenium, lead, and others. So since the area of contamination is so large, it is probably too expensive to do many more conventional remediation techniques, and phytoremediation may be appropriate since it's inexpensive and can be performed in situ. And one species that's been studied quite frequently in phytoremediation studies is Brassica gentia, or Indian mustard, and it's been found to be able to take up many different types of trace elements. For more, less bioavailable trace elements, EDTA can be added to chelate the trace element and facilitate uptake by the plants. So the objective of my study, the first one is to determine the effect of the contaminated soils from Flin Flon on the germination and early growth of three Brassica species as well as a native grass. The second is to adjust conditions to promote plant growth. And the third is to determine the effect of the soil as well as fertilizer application and chelant application on the uptake and biomass, uptake of trace elements and biomass of the plants. So I started out with a Brassica germination study. I used three species. So the first is Brassica gentia, since it's been used a lot previously. The second is Brassica carinata. We thought that it may be able to produce larger biomass. And the third was Brassica napus, which had the potential to use the oil from it. Even though it would be contaminated, the process of refining the oil would actually get rid of the contaminants, and it could be used perhaps for biofuel. So I used four soils. The contaminated mineral and the contaminated organic are from Flin Flon, so they have a multitude of different trace element contaminants inside. I'll note that organic soil is not technically, it doesn't quite meet the specifications to be classified as an organic soil, but it's very high in organic matter, so I'm just referring to it as organic for this presentation. I put 24 seeds of each species in each soil, and this was done in a growth room. So I have a picture here, and you can see the different soil types. The clean mineral and the clean organic soils, they're not equivalents in terms of soil properties to the contaminated soils. So we're using them more as a way to compare the growth and germination to more of an ideal situation, but they're not the same in terms of texture or other properties. Next, I did another germination study using a native grass. I used tufted hair grass, which is, we chose it because there was a study in Sudbury, Ontario, in Canada, where there's a lot of smelters in the area, and after acidification from the smelters was reduced, this grass was actually found to reintroduce itself in the area. So we thought that it would be able to grow well in these soils, and so we used the same four soils as I used in the last study. But instead of using 24 seeds of the plant in each soil, I used 48 seeds, and that's just because we thought the native species would have a lower germination percentage than the others. And that was again done in a germination room. So I have pictures again of that, and you can see it's the same soils I used before. The last study I'm going to talk about is the phytoextraction study using the same four soils again. The plant species we chose to use was the tufted hair grass, and I'll get into that why we chose that species later. We put 2 plants per pot, and we had a total of 12 pots per soil, and with 4 treatments. So we had 3 control, we didn't add anything to it. 3 we added nitrogen and phosphorus fertilizer. 3 we added EDTA, but that is not in the first growing cycle. Since I'm looking at multiple growth cycles, we're adding EDTA in the third growth cycle to allow the first 2 cycles for growth to take up the more mobile contaminants. And then the 4th treatment is fertilizer and EDTA added. And the pots were watered to 70% of field capacity, which we found in previous studies to be adequate to support plant growth. So this is a picture of the grass, which I transplanted from the germination study into pots for the phytoextraction study. And so, as I said before, we're doing multiple growth cycles. So after 14 weeks, I harvested the shoots from cycle 1 of the growth, and I also collected 2 small soil cores from the pots. I tried to take one from closer to where the plants were growing and one closer to the edge to get a more representative sample of the soil. And those samples are being analyzed for trace element uptake content. So moving on to my results, I have germination counts. This is for the Brassica germination study. And we found that the species of Brassica was important. It was significant in affecting the germination count. We saw that Brassica carinata actually had a significantly lower germination count than either of the 2 species. And we also saw that soil type was not significant in affecting germination count. When we look at the average height of the Brassica after 4 weeks, we see that the species, the soil, and the interaction between the 2 are all significant. And I have the values for the contaminated organic soil circled. And that's because the stunted growth was so extreme in this soil that this is the reason why we chose to do the phytoextraction study using the grass rather than any of the Brassica species, because it didn't grow very well at all and we didn't think that it would uptake any significant amount of contaminants from the soil. The contaminated mineral soil also caused stunted growth, but not to such an extent as the contaminated organic soil. And here I just have the fixed effects in groups for the different soils and different species. So you can see the Brassica carinata actually resulted in shorter, less growth. And you can see that both the contaminated soils resulted in stunted growth as well, and mostly with the contaminated organic soil causing a large effect there. And so you can actually see this is the picture taken after 4 weeks. And you can see the contaminated organic in the top right-hand corner is very small compared to all the other plants. Moving on to the tufted hairgrass germination study, we found that soil is not significant in terms of germination count. It's close, but at alpha at 0.05, it's not statistically significant. And I also want to note that the number for contaminated organic, 41.7 out of 48 germinating, that may be falsely high since the soil that we collected did contain seeds from the natural environment and some unknowns did germinate. So that is probably a little bit higher than what it should be. When I look at height, the soil type is significant in affecting the grass height after 4 weeks, with both contaminated soils causing stunted growth, especially the organic once again, although the growth stunting was not as severe as with the Brassica, so this is why we chose this species for the phytoextraction study. As of now, I just have some biomass values ready from the phytoextraction study just from cycle 1. The trace element analyses are still being done, so I don't have those results yet. But we found that the soil, fertilizer, and the interaction were significant. EDTA hasn't been added yet. And you'll notice for contaminated mineral soil, there are no values, and that's because At the time when I harvested the plants for cycle one, the growth was not enough to be enough sample for analysis for trace elements, so we left them to grow larger before we sampled them. So we saw that the clean mineral soil had the highest amount of biomass production. And then we saw when fertilizer was added, the clean organic had higher biomass than the contaminated organic, but when no fertilizer was added, the contaminated organic actually had a higher biomass production than the clean organic. And we think that's just because the clean organic soil has such low amount of nutrients that it needs fertilizer to be able to grow. So here I grouped my pots into their treatment groups to take a photo here, and you can clearly see the differences between the treatments. So here we have the clean minerals, and you can see how much the biomass is more than the other plants. In the back here we have the contaminated mineral, and you can barely see the plants sticking out of the pots. And then clean organic, you can see the large difference between these pots here. I added fertilizer to nitrogen, phosphorus, and then these pots here, there was no fertilizer added. So fertilizer was very important in the clean organic soil. So to conclude, we saw that Brassica carinata had lower germination count than the other Brassicae in the germination study, and that although soil type did not significantly affect the germination count of the Brassicae species, it did affect growth height. All the Brassica were stunted by the contaminated mineral and the contaminated organic soil, but the contaminated organic soil stunted growth so much that we could not use it in the phytoextraction study. So instead we chose to use the grass, the tufted hair grass. And then from the phytoextraction study, we found that soil type and fertilizer both affected biomass production. So what I'm doing now and in the future, I have harvested shoots and soil from cycles 1 and 2 of growth, so they are awaiting trace element analysis. Growth cycle 3 is underway, and I'll be adding EVTA to the pots soon. So I have some acknowledgements you can see on the screen, and thank you. I believe it's been found to take up nickel and perhaps chromium, but we're not sure if it's actually taking up the trace elements from the soils or finding some way to exclude them, so we'll see when we get the trace element analysis. Yeah. Just above ground, we're leaving the roots intact so that the growth cycles can just regrow from without having to replant.